Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, Rising in Prayer. And our text is from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, 1, 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a powerful proclamation of the greatness of God and how we as believers are to live our lives within that greatness. Now, this is a letter that instructs the new church how to function as the living body of Christ, who've been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. From the very beginning, this letter to the church in Ephesus is immersed in prayer. I remember you in my prayers, the Apostle Paul says. You see, Paul was a praying man. More than any other Bible writer, Paul tells us most of a spiritual journey grounded and winged in prayer. He prayed for guidance, endurance, other missionaries, and most of all, he prayed for the church. Paul constantly prayed for this new movement that he realized needed to be held together in the reality of a living God. To the Romans, he prays that God of hope fills them with all joy and peace in believing. To the Corinthians, he prayed for the grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And he prayed that the Ephesians would grasp the width and length and height and depth of the love of Jesus. Paul believed the church should begin, be centered, and end in prayer. And I think there's much for us to learn from Paul's prayers. Let's look first at his language. You know, I love words. As a television journalist, I worked at clarity, conciseness, crispness, and there was always a tone of urgency in our TV language, breaking news, right now. You hear it all the time. On one of these networks, I won't name it, every story is breaking news. When I owned my own video production company, I bathed myself in technology. So I had to learn about formats and pixelation and application and bandwidth. So prayer language has its own characteristics. The language of prayer should be personal and relational and reverent. And then in the book of Ephesians, Paul adds some other layers. And that's what we need to pay attention to. Paul addresses this new group of believers in Ephesus as saints. Now, it's a title of holiness and sacredness, one that might make you think the church is perfect. There are some who idealize the church at Ephesus as the one New Testament church that had it all together. This is the only letter Paul writes that does not address specific issues like divisions in the Corinthian church or false teachers in the Colossians. But there are a few clues that point to some mess in Ephesus. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes that he fought with wild beasts at Ephesus. There's nothing in the Bible that records Paul fighting animals, so the assumption is he's talking about some humans. We're not sure if it was inside the church or outside the church, but the point is that Ephesus was like all the rest, just like today's modern church, full of human beings who are altogether complete with muck and mire that humans attract. The bloody battles, the dirty laundry. Let's face it, Christians have the same issues as everybody else. Matthew was a tax collector. That made him a cheat and a liar. Peter was impulsive and neurotic. John and James were always ready to fight. And Judas, well, you know about Judas. Jesus is the only one without issues. So Paul is not addressing the Ephesians because they are perfect. He's addressing them as saints by offering them and us a new way to understand ourselves. Not who we are, but who God is in us. Not what we're doing today, but what we will become. So he calls us saints. It takes commitment and vigilance in our language to ensure this faith community understands its possibility. As Christians, we have to be careful with our language, stepping into all kinds of new possibility. So Paul describes them as saints because of their possibilities. And that's what life as a Christian is. It's not just where we are, because we live in the here and now when we make mistakes and we do stupid things and we fall back and we stumble. It's where we're headed. We're headed to glory. And God has the best in store for us. And we have to live into that. So we call each other saints. I love that. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. Paul's letter to the Ephesians begins with a blessing. Chapter 1, verse 3. This is the New Revised Standard. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, a writing coach would say, hold on, Paul, you've made a point once. You might not want to make it the second or the third time. You don't use one word that many times in a sentence. But Paul is making a bigger point here. The term bless or blessing is used hundreds of times in the Bible. It's a fundamental element of God's relationship with God's people. God is a blessing God. When God blesses us, he's making us better than we were before. When we bless God, we are praising him, admiring him, showing our gratitude. The language of prayer always includes blessing. And it's not all just about language. It's about attitude and action. I don't ever want to leave a situation worse than I found it. And I'm talking about any situation. When I walk away from you, when we finish our business, I want you to be elevated. I want you to be better off than we first started. I want you to be blessed. So blessing is important. And we need to bless God in our prayers. And we need to ask God for blessings on our people and on the world. If there is such a thing as the secret of this letter to the church in Ephesus, it's the extravagance, the expansiveness of Paul's language. Let's go back to the text. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Now let's stop right here. Not only is this one of the longest run-on sentences in the New Testament, it is one of the most beautiful phrases. So, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, the eyes of your heart, your spiritual vision, Paul is praying that our spiritual vision is open to greater knowledge, greater understanding, greater insight, to see what we've never seen before, to discover more about God than we knew existed. This is not our physical eyes. This is our spiritual eyes. There are new possibilities. There are new blessings. There are new miracles. There are new mercies every day. That's the prayer. We usually discuss prayer in terms of methodology, how we pray, how often we pray, what kind of prayers we pray, be they adoration, contrition, petition, intercession. And that's good. That's useful. This is not about changing the types of prayers we pray. Paul teaches us about the tone of the prayer. There's much more to praying than methods, models, and strategies. Paul's prayer to Ephesus is bathed in the overriding language of abundant life. I was telling my engineer, Mark, this morning, I got up with just kind of a cloud over me this morning, and I got on my knees and I prayed. And I've got to tell you that as I prayed, and I prayed for a clean heart and a renewed spirit, I prayed for a new way to look at the world. As soon as I finished that prayer, my mindset had changed. It was miraculous. And that doesn't usually happen to me. It takes a while for me. And I think it's because I'm fighting whatever I'm praying for. But this morning, maybe I was at the end of my rope. Maybe I was just open. I don't know what happened inside me, but I know that I went down on my knees feeling really full and loaded and weary. And I got up with a lightness that I can only credit the Holy Spirit for. Prayer is at the heart of our maturing relationship with God. And all I want you to think about is, what is at the heart of prayer? Why should we pray? Why should we pray at all? I believe there's a rising in our praying. When we pray with our hearts open to God, there's a rising. It's just because we're reaching for God. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That focuses us again on the expectation of abundance and excess that Paul taught us to pray. Now, but that's heaven. In the meantime, we're still down here in the muck and the mire. But remember, nobody knew better than Jesus about the tension between heaven and earth. Every day he was confronted by the sick, the dying, the demons, those who mocked him, those who would want to do evil against him. He turned to prayer time and time again. You see, prayer for Jesus was his true north. It was the only real connection he had. Now, he prayed a lot. There are those who tell us he prayed more than he did anything else. He kept at it. And we know, looking back over his life, it wasn't always about escaping trials. And the same holds true for Paul. Our challenges, the lack of work, the lack of money, broken marriages, broken spirits, don't define us. God defines us. That's why understanding the language of prayer is so important. Speak life. Speak blessing. Not just when you talk to God, but when you talk to each other. Put the language of prayer in your daily life. That's how you can rise in prayer. That's how you can rise in life. God wants us to be saints, and he has promised us a saintly life. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let love rule.